Now, the Trail Talk Podcast. Anything and everything snowmobiling by UpstateSnow.com with Rich Lupia and Zachary Lupia.
And welcome to the Trail Talk Podcast. Our guest today is the trail coordinator for the New York State Snowmobile Association. That is Jim Rolfe. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you, Rich.
Well, we got a lot of stuff going on. We have snow in November, which means your job probably becomes a lot more busier than usual because people forget snowmobile season doesn't start until December around here.
Some people, yeah. Either forget or don't care.
Yeah.
Don't understand.
Yeah.
It's more like it.
So I'm going to ask you a loaded question, which will probably go off on rabbit trails for the rest of this edition of the podcast. And I'm sure there's several things that you want to get out. What are your biggest concerns with snowmobiling in New York State as we head into this winter season and even looking ahead to the next decade?
Well, the first one's fairly simple. Lack of volunteers, lack of new volunteers, younger volunteers. Clubs are... The longstanding club members are getting older. They're getting tired. They're retiring from their retirement jobs, you know, basically without pay with the snowmobile clubs. And their passion has carried them on to a point where they've either moved south or unfortunately are too frail or elderly where they don't health-wise that they can't help anymore. So we've seen a pretty good changeover in some of these clubs recently that has really concerned a lot of people.
Are there clubs that have bucked this trend that you see some younger blood coming in? You see some people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and even earlier 50s that are stepping up. Are there examples of that out there?
Oh, yeah, there's examples of that out there. Wish it was more. There's a few that we hear from. There's a few that started youth groups, one in Erie County in Hamburg and the Shawnee Club in Niagara County. And then they have pushed NICE a little bit more to start a youth group. So we have in Oneida County a young lady from the CNY Snowmobile Club that is willing to step up and be more involved into hopefully getting a kids group started with a NISA.
So when you say youth group, what age range are you talking about?
Under 18.
Under 18. Okay. So do you find many people willing to help in that 18 to 34 range for the most part, even in the clubs where they have more youth involvement?
Like I said, there's pockets of it where they do, but for the majority, no.
Okay.
And that's the sad part. We really need some of them to step up, you know, a little bit to begin with, learn what the club's all about, why they do what they do, why they have to do what they do, funding-wise, paperwork-wise, legally-wise, landowner respect, how we deal with that, and then someday take over, you know, and run with it, and then do what they want with the clubs. It'd be great to have a succession plan within each club to do something like that. It doesn't seem that the majority of clubs are seeing that. And it doesn't seem that, you know, it definitely is not being passed on to us. We're being asked, you know, help. How do we get new volunteers? That's the $100,000, you know, pyramid question.
So the clubs that are having a little bit better time in attracting volunteers, is it just because of luck? Is it just because of relationships? Or are there certain things that they're doing and applying that other clubs haven't really caught on to yet?
Standing back and looking at it, it's hard to pinpoint, you know, one or two certain things, but I think it seems to be like a friendship thing. So if a couple of friends seem to step up, they're able, you know, in a certain age group, the younger group, they're able to bring more people with them because of it's their friends. And if we can get those people to start seeing that the help is really needed, then I think we'll have a better time and of clubs seeing volunteers step up to the plate more instead of just writing. It's not just about writing, unfortunately.
You have this situation to where most of the state system, most of the 10,000-mile state system, A vast majority of it is run by over 200 volunteer clubs. Some of them are in high snow areas that get a ton of traffic. You have a situation to where you don't have a lot of volunteer help. If a few critical people step back, what happens from there? Do the clubs fold? Does it become a permit system like Old Forge and Inlet have? What happens if this need for volunteers and for people stepping up and helping the clubs, you know, does it go that way or does it just shut down? What do you think the answer is right now?
Probably a little bit of everything. There have been some clubs that have shut down due to lack of people stepping up. There's a few over the years, not too many. There's talk of a bunch of other ones looking to do it. And it's unfortunate that it takes that I don't really want to call it a threat, but that situation to maybe bring people out of the woodwork to say, holy cow, there's going to be no local trails in my town or my village or in my county near where I am unless somebody steps up. I better find out what's going on.
And I think the big thing is that, like my son Zach, who's 16, we're doing this project, Upstate Snow, as a father and son thing. And one of the things that he loves about the sport is the great trail system that we have. And as we have seen, these different issues with the trails, with the clubs, with disrespect on the trails, a wide variety of issues from all sides coming at snowmobiling. He sees that it may not be the way that it is right now in 5 to 10 years, and so that's his motivation. What can be the motivation for these kids, for these younger ones that are going to be the future of the sport? Is it going to take a trail system shutting down and then them having to resurrect it somehow? Or is that even possible if a club shuts down and disperses his assets? Is it going to be much more difficult to get it started back up? Or
I'd hate to see clubs shut down and then in an area that it's needed, and then somebody trying to take it back over or start something back up. That's extremely difficult, quite costly. You know, to start up a 501c3 corporation, you know, start there and to file everything you need to file, and that's already there. The infrastructure is already there. So if a club is going to possibly fail or just start shutting down, maybe give up trails, close them right down completely, and people don't like what they're seeing, they should have stepped up prior to that, but they better take over that club. It's easier to come in and work with a club under their current structure, business structure, and just change things, you know, a little bit by little bit, but learn what's going on, than to try to start over and fresh. And there's been some that would like to have done it, you know, like start a club in an area, and we always push them to say, why don't you work with that club, join that club. There's been talk every once in a while you hear things, people say, well, you know, they never really accepted me, they didn't do this. And when I talk to those clubs about that type of a comment, they're like, that wasn't the case. The person came to a meeting and never said a word. So we need to have communication. If clubs need help, they have to communicate it. People reading it can't just blow it off like it's not the real situation. And what you see is a final product on a trail system isn't always indicative with nice smooth trails, I'm talking about.
Right.
And nice sign trails isn't always indicative of what's going on within the club structure-wise, officer-wise, volunteer-wise. It could be 5 people holding it together with a string, still providing a great trail system for everybody to enjoy, but those 5 people are just getting burned out more and more and more every day.
So
that's
how many,
the biggest part.
So how many clubs, if you had to put a number out of the 200-plus clubs that we have in New York State, if you had to put a number or hazard a rough guess of how many clubs are in critical condition, like hanging by a thread, like you said, how many out of those 200 would you think?
Well, unfortunately, we don't communicate with every single club if they don't reach out to us. It's mm-hmm. the ones that we're hearing from. So when we hear from the clubs that are in critical condition, we do everything we can to try to help them, advise them as to, you know, what we would try to do. But I don't know if I could put a number on it. You know, I mean, if you look at the counties that I'm more involved in, you know, it's percentage wise, maybe more like 20%. Many others that are either they haven't told us yet. They've just had, they're getting to that level now. They're starting to see what's going on. I have heard from some pretty good clubs, pretty reputable clubs that have all of a sudden got to a point where like going, we only have two officers left that have been here and everybody else is new. We've lost our grooming coordinators, our trail coordinators, and it was nothing to do with people being upset. It was all to do with age and health.
Attrition.
They've run it, and right, and they've run the course. They've taken the club to the top of the level, top of the heap. And I hate to see clubs like that lose their luster and their ability to provide great trails. And I think everybody that rides some of these trails, if they knew what was going on with the clubs, and it's a pride thing.
So we have a situation to where potentially 20%, if not more, of the clubs are in a situation to where it wouldn't take much for there to be a critical situation with those clubs. And just because everything looks to be good on the outside doesn't mean that it is on the inside. And I actually had one of the clubs tell me it's because they do things well and they're able to put everything together, they think that, well, they don't need us. They don't need us. It looks like everything's taken care of. They don't need our help. So maybe that goes back to more of communication with the clubs.
Oh, definitely. But you know, it's hard to tell people that, you know, in newsletters, social media posts that you need help. But then when the trails look immaculate and their signs are up, the trees are trimmed, everything's done, and people think, well, They're looking for help, but how do they need help when they're able to do everything they do? Like I said, it's certain people that are doing it. It's a pride thing. It's a passion thing for those people. But what happens when that next group takes it to the next level where they can't continue? So, you know, and that's probably in, like I said, and that's in more clubs that we're hearing from. I think because there's a lot of pride out there with clubs that have built from the ground up, 70s, 80s, started a club, built their trail system from nothing to what we have today. Maybe they don't want to tell people how bad things are, but that could be their downfall. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, my suggestion is that we need to communicate as you.
So obviously, communication and volunteers are probably the biggest concerns. What follows after that?
Funding, revenue. There's an obvious trend over the past 5 to 8 years that. Snowmobiles are, there's less registered in the state. There's less people in the state. Obviously, I think that follows that trend with census numbers.
Yes.
So, unfortunately, it's not like just people are deciding that they're getting out of the sport. I think they're getting out of the state, and that's leaving. The numbers are leaving. The registration numbers, which turns to funding. And everybody wants, not everybody, there's clubs who want to build their trails even bigger, their systems bigger. The more you build, the more money goes into it. The pie is only so big. Now the pie is shrinking, but we keep wanting to add more trails to the system. There's a funding problem. And the clubs, and of course, everything goes up. The groomers, you know, the top line groomers were $125,000, you know, 20 years ago. That's the top of the line groomer. You know, every bell and whistle, you know, the people could buy. Today, they're $280,000. I mean, you know, what clubs can afford to pay that? You know, there's
on $25-$30 per member memberships, and you only have a handful of clubs that are in four figures with membership. By the time you add it up, and then you figure in your fuel, and then the signage, and insurance, and buildings, and multiple groomers, in a way, it's kind of amazing that we're able to do what we're able to do right now.
It really is, and it's mainly because it is an all-volunteer thing. If we had to pay people to do what we do, we'd be broke before November. We'd be broke by now based on our numbers coming in.
Either that or the permits would probably be like $300, $400 a year instead of $75. You know, and from my understanding, Old Forge is going up to $100 later this year. And, you know, it's $65 until... you know, November 15th, if you get in on it early, and that's just one small area. You add that up over multiple areas. People like to go for rides 100, 200 plus miles. You add that up over multiple trail systems. That's potentially a lot of money if we end up going the paid direction.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and we don't want to cut our trail system down in miles so much in the busy areas, especially because you're going to put too much traffic on certain trails. Right now we've got a nice blend of trails where people in the busiest parts of the state can go and choose where they want to go. And you may not want to take the same route out that you took back. So you want to, you know, I don't want to call them loop trails but different ways. So people like that. But if you cut too many trails out, now we're going to have everybody on the same trails. Mm-hmm. So we run that risk.
And we kind of have that when the weather dictates that only certain parts of the state happen to have the snow, especially early in the season or late in the season. And so you get a lot of that already happening. So mm-hmm. What about the idea that some clubs have told me and that Zach and I really like the idea of, and we've joined four clubs personally already this year, and I really want to hold true to joining every single club that our skis touch this season. And I started thinking about that, and I'm like, wow, that could be 8, 10, maybe 12 clubs, and that starts getting into a couple $100s. And which is a lot when you think about it that way, but
you know, and then if we get snow in areas across the whole state, you know, as we hope for, you might want to start reaching out to other parts of the state to ride, and then it could turn into 20 clubs. I mean, it's almost, there's no way we could do that. I mean, joining multiple clubs, I support 110%. It shows, you know, I like to tell people when they ask me, you know, my opinion on joining multiple clubs, I say, when you ride during the course of a year and you've picked a couple clubs already that you've ridden, and then all of a sudden you ride in another area and you're like, wow, this is incredible. Their signage is good. The trails are all trimmed back. The grooming is incredible. And every time you went there, it's your way of saying thank you. The next year, you join them as a secondary membership. Mm-hmm. You can join them the following year, and it's thanking them for right. what they've done, and that helps. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't volunteer for those 20 clubs, so if you're going
right,
to choose
obviously.
Them, that's also a good way of you know, donating money directly to the club. When you join as a secondary membership, it's $24 generally. There's no NYSA fee attached to that because you already joined a club once,
right? Because you already had one
they
primary
get 100% of that money. There's no transactions fees taken out of that for the club. Mm-hmm. So the club gets that 100% money. So it's a complete donation as a thank you that, hey, I can't come out and help. I think that if more people did that and had that mentality, clubs would be better off in that sense for that portion of the revenue. The more revenue I was talking about was the trail fund revenue. So yeah, membership is an issue because the club membership is going down. That's a population thing again. Lack mm-hmm. and people aren't, there isn't as many numbers, so obviously memberships are going to go down in clubs. So that hurts a little bit, but the revenue in the fund is where the main problem is. We just aren't paying back to clubs enough money to maintain the trail systems the way that they can, or that they do in some cases, that they do. I mean, clubs have got to go out and sell raffle tickets for 4 months a year, or do a chicken barbecue once a month all summer long,
or like Ohio does Snow Bash, and that's a ton of work. As yep. much as people enjoy it, that's a lot of work on people in that area almost all throughout the spring and summer. So that club never gets a break,
right? You know, so they're lucky they've got their fundraising people and then their trail people, and sometimes it's a little bit different. Some intermingle between both, but you'd have to have that. And that would also be another thing that people can do. We go back to volunteerism real quick and helping out with the revenue problem and the funding stream problem with the clubs. If more people, you don't want to go out and help on trails, that's fine. But if you can help at a fundraiser, if these clubs have a chicken barbecue and you're the person selling 50-50 tickets, you didn't do much work. That's not much effort. You're sitting at a table, mingling with people.
Even if you're cooking chicken with your buddies for a couple of hours.
Yes. Yeah, it's cooking chicken.
You would do that in the backyard when it's 80 degrees and sunny anyway.
and do it with people that you snowmobile with.
So right.
You know, so it's, but it also shows that support, and then you can volunteer. There's people that I know personally that don't snowmobile at all. They may be business owners, so they understand their need to have a snowmobile trail to their business. So they're a president of a club. They gave up snowmobiling, but they still groom for the club, president of a club. They do the paperwork, help out with the paperwork, obviously, work the fundraisers, but they don't even snowmobile anymore. They lost the passion to snowmobile, but they still understand that they as a business owner need that snowmobile trail there. So that's their giving back to the club. They don't go out and do trail work. In some cases, you know, they just don't have time running a business 7 days a week. But they give back in other ways. You know, their business is open to their club for events and things like that. So there's a lot of things that people could do if they just thought a little bit more about the need to volunteer and the need to provide a little bit more to these clubs. And there's a lot. The clubs, generally, there's a lot of smart people in some of these clubs. A lot of, you know, you got CPAs, you have attorneys, you have doctors, you've got business people. And as a mentorship, that could also be a great way to build up a club and take them to the next level, that maybe they're not running their club as a business like they should, but there's business people in the club and intelligent people that could help them, show them a better way. You know, there's another way of volunteering. So you don't have to, it isn't all about trail work. It isn't all about installing a bridge. It isn't all about grooming. There's so many other things that people could do
with a club. And at the end of the day, the economic impact that goes into upstate New York, particularly into areas where without snowmobiling in the wintertime, it would have a very negative effect on the people that live there year-round.
Yeah, but you're, some of the places you're talking about, their populations are down anyways. They're very repressed.
And they were down to be, and they were down to begin with. I'm thinking of places like Lewis County. I'm thinking, you know, in the Adirondacks, northern Oneida County, away from Utica and Rome, some of the lake effect areas, especially south of Buffalo, where, you know, they may not be in, you know, the city or the suburbs, where things are a lot richer and where they have a lot more people around to help out. They're kind of on the edges and sometimes forgotten.
And they rely quite almost, I don't want to say mainly, because there's a lot of locals still running the stuff for the clubs. But if it wasn't for the out-of-towners and the out-of-staters, in some cases, out-of-state people are the officers of some of these clubs. Out-of-towners are the people who rent a cabin up there all year, or own a cabin up there all year, or just they know they travel up there all the time, so they see what the situation is, and they've decided to get more involved. Without those people, those clubs would have been closed down a long time ago, because there's not enough locals in some of those areas to continue to have a full volunteer base to make a club run. And there's still a couple clubs that are on that cusp, and I don't want to name any names, but they're still talking about they could close down this year or next year if they don't get people stepping up.
Well, the message is loud and clear. Step up, get involved, and do what you can, not just for the snowmobile community, but for the community in general. Jim Rolfe, Trail Coordinator for the New York State Snowmobile Association, thanks for joining us on the Trail Talk podcast.
Well, thanks for what you do, Rich, and I'm glad to hear that, you know, your son Zach and you are doing this again, and that Zach is, you know, as a 16-year-old, interested in looking to the future. That's something we need more youth to do. And if he can rub off a little bit onto some other ones, if we can start a youth group with NYSA, and Zach could be one of the ones that we interact with, we need that to rub off. We need that mentality and the thought process of saying, you know, I love what I do. My dad does this with me, and this is a great time. But if where's it going to be in the future if people don't help? So thank you for what you do too.
Well, we appreciate everything that you do with the Snowmobile Association, and we will talk a little bit more in the next podcast, more specifically about what you do and some other things with NYSA that people probably need to know. Jim, we'll catch you next time here on the Trail Talk podcast with UpstateSnow.com. I'm Rich Lupia.
Listening to the Trail Talk podcast. For more podcasts, weather information, and snowmobile information, visit upstatesnow.com.